We rise for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Thus far, the reading of the Gospel. You may be seated. Just for your information, Harold suddenly got incredibly chilled, so he went home. It's too bad he couldn't have stayed because he had warmed up in the sermon. He just had to go home and get warm. So let's pray for Harold. Gracious Father, we ask your blessing today for your servant Harold, as his life has been dramatically changed on earth. And he grieves sorely the death of Margaret. Will you comfort him? Remind him that even now he is firmly in your grasp of grace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The call to mission. How many places in Scripture can you recall where Jesus talks about peace, or where in Scripture the theme is peace? Can you recall? The peace of the Lord be with you always. The Psalms is full of a discussion of peace. Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Who spoke those words? The angels. To some frightened shepherds, peace on earth. John 20, Jesus says to his disciples, again Jesus said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. He sends them out with peace. Jesus frequently talked about peace. In fact, peace was one of the things he said when he first rose from the grave, because the disciples were terrified. Peace to you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but as only I can give. So Jesus has spent a lot of time talking about peace in a world that doesn't have much peace. So what does he say today? Look at the very first part of our text, Matthew 10. What does he say? Do not think that I have come to bring peace, but a sword. Come, theologians, explain to me, what is he doing? Is it peace, or is it a sword, or what did he come to bring? Well, Jesus is not... Rosie, you're going to step out and... Oh, good. Yeah, we can't understand it, so... Well, let's not even talk about it. Yeah, it's... This whole thing about peace is a discussion of about a new relationship with God. Jesus never promised peace in the world. Some of you sang about it in the 60s, right? Yeah, you sang about peace. I bet some of you even had a peace sign on your shirt, which was probably tie-dyed. Keith, did you have one? You had a tie-dyed shirt with the peace symbol on it? Yeah, it's the age of Aquarius. Everyone's going to be at peace. I haven't seen that. The whole world is in turmoil. Man, I don't know if you guys watch news much, but you've almost got to take a Valium with it. There's not a lot of peace. Well, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and this is called the mission discourse. He's sending them out, and he says, this is going to be the reality of the call that I've given you. And the call is, come follow me. Because the servant is not above his master. If the world hates me, what's it going to do to you? If they don't like the teacher, now the student's in trouble. It really is a battle. Jesus is telling us that he comes to bring peace as a relationship between people and God, but what is going to be the result of the message that he is speaking? You ever seen the movie The Perfect Storm? It's a great movie. Call the context of the movie. This is a fishing village in Massachusetts. And it's just poverty ridden. Fishing has been terrible. And there is a crew from a ship called the Andrea Gale. And there is a long trip they're going to take to what they believe is a fertile fishing ground. And when they got there, it was. The boat is filled. And on the way back in October, in the stormy part of the year, they hit what was called the perfect storm. This is 1991. So this storm converges on the spot where they are traveling back to their home port. And that's the last we hear of them. I want to read to you from Sebastian Younger. He is the director. He says, there are many kinds of work that are dangerous. One of the most interesting things about fishing is that it really hasn't changed much over time. It's been mechanized, but the basic reality of going to sea for months at a stretch is the same as it was over 100 years ago. You're beyond help from anyone else. You're on your own. I think that forms a certain kind of character. Not only does everyone know someone who has died at sea, but everyone who works in the fishing industry has almost died. Every single fisherman you talk to has almost gotten nailed at one time or another. If you're going to be a fisherman, you have to have courage because you know the possibilities. Jesus is telling his disciples, if you're going to fish for men, if you're going to come follow me, you're going to need courage. Because it's difficult. It is challenging. It's not for fair weather Christians. It is not for part-timers. You can't make making disciples just a box in your life and do it with the call that Christ gives because, ladies and gentlemen, it's just too difficult. So what kind of difficulties? Well, Jesus says that if you go and you fish for people, then I had better be the priority, because if I'm not the priority, you're never going to follow me. Because you're going to face rejection, you're going to face ridicule, you're going to face laughter. You know, at the time of these disciples, if you followed Jesus, sometimes there was rejection from family. I don't know if you ever experienced that. I've met people who come to worship service on Sunday morning. It's a great cost to them. I know one particular person who came and the spouse was opposed to their worshiping. This person came to worship and left right away because they didn't want to give any more excuse to the spouse for the ridicule that this person was receiving. They knew the cost. When they sat here for worship, they knew for the rest of the week they were going to pay a price. I don't know if that's the case for you. But there's the possibility, Jesus says, that if you're going to follow me, if you're going to receive my message, you're going to find even in your own family people who will laugh, people who may oppose it, people who can make life difficult. I've told some of you this story. I met a man who was working for the Lutheran Hour Ministries. When he first got married, his wife, who was a very, very dedicated member of a Lutheran church, just continued to love him. But he was a jerk. He would give her a hard time. He would ridicule her. She smiled. She lived faithfully. One day, she was having a Bible study with the women of her congregation in their place, and the husband had just had it. He marches from their bedroom to the kitchen naked. Those ladies in the Bible study did not flinch. They kept on with their study. And when they finally left, he was crying in the bedroom, asking his wife for forgiveness and saying, "I don't know about this God that you know, but I'm going to church with you next Sunday." 3 months later, he's sitting in adult instruction. Many years later, he's a wild-eyed, passionate, courageous witness for Jesus Christ because of the grace he's received. It is going to cost something. Jesus said, if we're not willing to pick up our cross and follow him, then we can't be his disciple. I want to show you a clip this morning of people who have followed Jesus at great cost.
We're here today at an underground church in North Vietnam on quite a chilly day. It's a chilly day for some baptisms, so that's what's going to be happening here among the Hmong people, who are some of the most persecuted Christians.
Let us try it again.
We're here today at an underground church in North Vietnam on quite a chilly day. It's a chilly day for some baptisms, so that's what's going to be happening here among the Hmong people, who are some of the most persecuted Christians in Vietnam.
And I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
The Hmong are treated with deep suspicion by the communist authorities in both Vietnam and Laos for two reasons. The Hmong sided with the Americans in the Vietnam War, which was also fought out in Laos. And many of the Hmong are Christian.
You know that the sun is shining, you see it brightly on you, and you feel its warmth, but you can't look into it.
Voice of the Martyrs Australia and Release International are here to encourage them.
What you do see is the shining out of the sun's rays upon the earth.
Saul's brother was beaten to death for refusing to deny his faith. Then the authorities turned on Saul. The authorities also beat me. They closed my door, wouldn't let me in my house, and expelled me from my village.
Can you describe your worst moment in prison?
The worst thing about prison was always starving, always wanting to eat something. I did very hard labor in the prison. They asked me to break rocks, but because I couldn't do it fast enough, they beat me.
Before you were jailed, they said that if you denied Jesus, they would let you go. Were you ever tempted to take the easy way out?
Oh, I never denied Jesus. Never. I believe that even if I die, I will still put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If I have the Lord Jesus Christ, even if I die, I will still be happy. I just trust in the Lord. He never, never leaves me. The Lord is always with me. Each day while I can still breathe the air, I will trust in the Lord. So I never denied Jesus, never.
Why is your faith so important to you?
I believe that a man must die one day, and when I die as a strong believer, I will be in heaven with Jesus Christ. That's why I never denied my faith.
Were there any moments of joy in all this hardship?
My joy in prison was that I believed that if the Lord did not return first, he would bring me back to my home. I believed that. I would like Christians to pray for my family, my whole family, my wife and my children, to have a strong trust in the Lord.
He is from the tribe of the Hmong. This area is one of the largest populations of Hmong outside of Hmongville, no, Vietnam, I believe it is. Some of the people who are here can tell you what it was like. Some of the Christians who came from a country where you were often persecuted. Many people died. And when I watch this kind of thing, I'm almost ashamed at the kinds of trivial things I wrestle with. My life's not being threatened because I'm a Christian. Our struggle is not so much the fear of somebody killing us, it's the day-to-day challenge of living the faith in a culture that isn't all that appreciative of it, who might give you a difficult time because of your faith, who might tell you you can't speak it publicly. It's forbidden. Jesus says that we're to pick up our cross daily. It is a battle. That's the sword he's talking about. When the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed, when it is believed, there is the risk of our suffering for it. Finders weepers, losers keepers. The reality is, we're going to lose things in this world. Temporal things. A lot of things. And Jesus warns us that that is the case. He says that the battle is in the world because those things are going to draw our attention. They're going to seek our allegiance. They don't mind if you come to church once in a while. They don't mind an occasional prayer, maybe a little Bible now and then. But to follow, to risk the things of this world in following Jesus Christ will bring opposition. A student at a small university came to school on crutches. Although he was not all that handsome, he was a great person. He lived with great joy. He had a lot of friends. People admired him. And one of the students asked him why it was that he was crippled. He said he had infantile paralysis. You ever heard it described that way? Do you know what that is? Polio. A great person. People just fell in love with this guy. And when this person asked, he said, infantile paralysis. And the young man said, well, that's really unfortunate. How do you face life? How can you live with any happiness? And I like his reply. He said, the disease never touched my heart. You see, the disease of this world doesn't touch the heart of those who live in Christ. For those who live in their relationship with Jesus Christ, as this Hmong man did, he could be in prison and still say, I love the Lord. Willing to lose his life in prison, not willing to deny the faith, knowing what the consequences could be. That's the call to mission. You don't have to go overseas to live this kind of mission. You can live it where you are. You can live it among the people that you associate with. You can live it in your family because it's a relationship. It's not about doing things. It's about being living in a relationship with Jesus Christ, when everything else is being lost, because to follow Christ is to lose the things of this world. He says, if anyone welcomes you, they welcome me. And if they welcome me, they welcome the one who sent me. Do you see the whole line of relationship? That God sends Jesus, who sends us, to the people of the world. And he says that you and I are now a people who welcome. We have welcomed the message of Christ, and the work of that message is to become a people of welcome. Kathleen Morris wrote a book called Amazing Grace, and she tells the story of a nun. In her later years, she was suffering with Alzheimer's disease. Every day in the convent, they would roll her in a wheelchair to the front door. You know, she had lost so much of her memory, but every day they would put her in front of the door, and you know what she would do? She would welcome people. Even with a disease ravaging her memory, so ingrained in her life was the idea of welcoming that she continued to welcome people. In the book, she says she's no longer certain what she is welcoming people to, but hospitality is so deeply ingrained in her that it has become her whole life. I read somewhere in an article on monastic spirituality that only people who are basically at home and at home in themselves can offer hospitality. Hospitality has no way of breaking through our insulation. When you have welcomed the message of Jesus Christ, when it lives in you, you become welcome to the world. And even so much so that when almost everything else is forgotten as to the why, we never forget the who. See, here's the call to mission. It's the call to a place in the world where you begin to notice others. When you've really lost yourself and you begin to notice around you the people, their joys, their sorrows, their needs. I want to read a little bit of a poem. It's called The Vision of Sir Launfal, and this is the voice of Christ speaking. Listen to what it says. The Holy Supper is kept indeed in whatso we share with others in need. Not what we give, but what we share. For the gift without the giver is bare. Who gives himself with his alms feeds three. Himself, his hungering neighbor, and me. If you and I begin to notice around us the people who need our welcome, we won't have any problem reaching people. Everybody needs to be at home. Everyone needs to feel connected. Jesus said our mission in the world is to notice the needs of others and to welcome them in his name. And to do that, he says, is to give even a cup of cold water, a minuscule thing. But to do it is to serve Christ. Jesus says, insomuch as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me. And he says to do that is to know a reward. To welcome a prophet is to receive a prophet's reward. To receive a righteous man is to receive a righteous man's reward. And some people will think, well, that must be prestige, that must be renown, that must be great wealth. It has nothing to do with any of that. It's not earthly things. In the last couple days, I spent considerable time dealing with death in the congregation. In all those situations, we've talked about a reward. The two people that died this week were really blessed in just a lot of ways. But they were blessed because they knew of eternal life. They knew the promise. They lived with the promise. And they're going to be sorely missed by a lot of people. But you see, they lived their life welcoming the message of Jesus Christ. The prophet and his message, the righteous man and his message. They believed it, they trusted it, and now the reward is received. That's the call to mission. That's the calling upon this church. That's a calling upon our lives, is to lose our things and gain life. So where is it in your world that you find opposition to the faith? Where is it that you have felt rejection, or maybe you have felt some persecution because of your willingness to speak and to live for Jesus Christ? And the second thing I have you consider this week, how do we welcome people? What kind of job do we do that way? I'm not talking just about Sunday morning. I'm talking about during the week. When people think of you, do they think of hospitality? Do they feel welcome? Because that's where the call to mission begins. As he has welcomed us, and so we welcome others. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we do thank you today that you have received us to be your people, that you've delivered to us this message, and it lives in us. We pray in this coming week that as we consider this call, the cost of being your disciple, that those things which would distract us and would pull us away from you, we might lose them. To be able to live in the one most important relationship now and forever, and that's the one with Jesus Christ. We ask all this in his name. Amen.